Jody, I know.
One's raising.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 13th of June, and this is the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. So I'm going to go ahead, of course, and call the meeting to order. And our purpose today is a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 140. So I'm going to go ahead and convene those two actions. And Mr. Bender, Senate Bill 140 relates to state financial administration. Tell us a little more than that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. That is a very broad relating clause. And the co-chairs are asking you to use this particular bill as a vehicle for implementing ballot measure 96, which voters passed last November. The bill, as it comes to you, provides a general fund appropriation to the East Metro Gang Enforcement Team to provide gang intervention services in Multnomah County. Funding for that program would be provided directly in the Oregon Youth Authority's budget bill. So this separate bill is not needed for that purpose. Instead, we have before you, we have posted to OLIS the Senate Bill 140-1 amendments, which are our gut and stuff, and replace the language using the relating to clause to implement ballot measure 96. I've put the actual constitutional language that voters approved also into OLIS. And the constitutional language is quite clear. This was the ballot measure that dedicates 1.5% of net lottery proceeds to veteran services. This constitutional language alone, though, is not sufficient to get the measure to actually work in the state budget. So that is why Senate Bill 140-1 amendments are before you. We also have a fiscal impact on the bill. Fiscal impact statement, which says this has no impact. And that might be kind of questionable. I think that a reasonable person might wonder why it doesn't have a fiscal impact. So I'd like to explain that as well. But first, I'd like to explain what the bill does and why you need statutory language to go along with the constitutional provisions that voters adopted in November. If you look at the Dash 1 amendments, they accomplish many things. The main thing, though, there's an underwriting theme in what these amendments do, and that is they provide that the monies that voters say should be dedicated to veteran services, this provides the mechanism to ensure that that happens by keeping these monies separate from all other monies from the moment that the lottery transfers the monies to DAS to the final moments when agencies actually spend the monies. They will be kept separate and dedicated for the purposes that the Constitution requires them to be dedicated to. So if you look at, if you have the amendments in front of you, or if you have the memo, the recommendation memo, what this bill does is several things. First of all, the only thing that the Constitution actually requires the legislature to do is to establish a Veterans Services Fund. And these amendments establish a Veterans Services Fund. So this fulfills the mandate that voters gave you to establish this fund when they approved Measure 96 in November. The bill furthermore sets out certain parameters on this fund that's being established. It identifies the permissible uses of the monies in the fund in statute. And these permissible uses parallel what the constitutional language allows the monies to be used for. In other words, this language in the statute requires that the funds be used exclusively for the purposes of providing services to support the benefit of veterans. It is not more restrictive than that. So there are no additional restrictions in this legislation beyond that which the constitutional amendment requires. The statutory language also sets up the mechanism by determining or deciding who has to do what. Specifically, it designates that the Department of Administrative Services is the entity that is responsible for ensuring that 1.5% of lottery funds are indeed deposited into this fund. unless you tell someone to do it, no one's responsible. So the Department of Administrative Services is going to be depositing the 1.5% of net lottery proceeds into this fund. The language clarifies that once the money is in there, it can be used only to provide services for veterans. The way that the lottery works is each quarter, they transfer their net proceeds to the state, I would call it that. But in this particular case, they transfer the money. It becomes available to the Department of Administrative Services. They will put 1.5% into the Veterans Services Fund. There will be 8 transfers like this during the biennium. The first transfer will occur in July. Therefore, if I can skip ahead to the last provision of this bill, Section 5 establishes an emergency clause to make sure that the fund actually exists at the time that the transfer, before the time the transfer is going to occur.
Be a good deal.
Section 2 of the bill establishes or requires that funds that you've allocate, well, let me step back. The way that this will work is if you pass this bill, and pass no other bills, what would happen is that you would have fulfilled your requirement to establish the fund that the Constitution directs you to. Mm-hmm. DAS would put 1.5% of monies from the lottery into this fund. Those monies could not be used for any other purpose except for the benefit of veterans, but that would be it. The money would stay in that fund and would not be spent. That's why we have a no fiscal on the bill. There's a second half of this process, which you are not going to do in this bill, but you will be doing in Senate Bill 5529, which is the lottery allocation bill. In the lottery allocation bill, you will approve transferring, or the term we use is allocating those monies to state agencies to fund veterans programs that you have approved in your budget. We are anticipating in this budget that funds would be allocated to 2 state agencies. Not surprisingly, one of them is the Department of Veterans Affairs, and we are anticipating that they would receive the great preponderance of these funds. But then also some of the funds would be allocated to the Housing and Community Services Department to operate housing programs for veterans. Your ODVA budget is up on Thursday, and depending upon what you decide to do there, you may decide to do that, you may decide to do something else. But the process will be, in Senate Bill 5529, we allocate these monies out, and the amendments establish new accounts for both Department of Veterans Affairs and for Housing and Community Services so that they, too, can keep these monies separate and not commingle them with other funds to ensure the constitutional dedication is met. The only other provision of the bill that I would like to note is that any monies that you allocate out to agencies, if they do not spend them for whatever reason and they're not committed, they revert back to the Veterans Services Fund after the biennium is over and are available to again be reallocated, but they retain their dedication. They never lose the dedication. They can never be used for anything other than veteran services. According to the Office of Economic Analysis, we anticipate that in the 17-19 biennium, I mentioned there'll be 8 transfers. The first of them will be in July. When all 8 transfers are over, currently it's forecasted that there will be slightly less than $18.7 million deposited into the Veterans Services Fund and available for allocation. And unless there are any questions.
Colleagues, any questions for Mr. Bender on this? Yes, Representative Meek.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I just had a question. If this, will the transfer take place on July 1st, is what I heard or understood?
What would happen is that the Lottery Commission will transfer, make its quarterly, its next quarterly transfer of net proceeds, probably the third week of July.
Okay.
If this legislation has been signed by the governor by then, which we are certainly hopeful, DAS will put 1.5% of that money into a Veterans Services Fund. In the meantime, if this legislature has approved has passed the allocation bill and has allocated, this is just a rough number, for illustrative purposes only, but $8 million for one program, say to one program at ODVA, then typically in July, since there are eight transfers, typically it's 1/8 each time. So typically they would probably get $1 million there. In some cases there are cash flow issues and they adjust that after discussing this with the agency. Another thing to note though is you will allocate certain amounts, but those amounts will not be guaranteed. This is a forecast of lottery revenues, and if the forecast goes down, they will just proportionally reduce all allocations. But they can't allocate more money than comes in.
Well, thank you, Coach. The reason I was asking because I was just curious what the amount was based on, so the forecasted amount.
Yes.
Not actual proceeds coming in.
The budget will be based on the forecast amount. So we will recommend that you do not allocate more money than we expect to come in. However, the actual allocations the actual amount of money going into the fund each quarter will be based on what the lottery revenues are. And if there's insufficient revenues in that quarter to transfer the amounts that you would normally transfer, they will have to be reduced for that quarter.
Thank you very much.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Monroe.
Yeah, a couple of things just to make sure, because there have been concerns expressed to me by a number of veterans. First of all, passing this bill guarantees that this 1.5% cannot be used for anything other than veteran services.
That is correct.
And secondly,
excuse me, Senator, but Mr. Bender, we want to make sure we're clear that some of it through DVA and some of it through housing.
Yes, this bill establishes or allows you to provide allocations to those two agencies. However, when the agencies receive those funds, they will have to maintain them in a separate fund and use them solely for the benefit of veterans.
Second question,
please.
This bill will make sure that these funds from the lottery, the 1.5%, will not be used to pay for programs that are currently funded out of the general fund, could supplant or could add to them but not replace current general fund expenditures.
This bill provides that the monies that are required to be dedicated by the constitutional measure can be used only for veteran services. This bill does not establish an amount of general fund that the legislature must provide to any program. So in other words, that would be a legislative decision in part of the budget. That's not what this bill does.
Well, follow up. Veterans that have talked to me are very concerned that as they worked hard to get this measure passed, very concerned that we'll just do a little fast shuffle and use this money to pay for what we otherwise have been paying for out of general fund and federal funds, out of other funds. And you know, my question is, will that be allowed if we pass this bill?
The answer is yes, because it'll be a legislative decision. I'm with you, Rod. We heard that loud and clear as we traveled the state. I spoke at a Memorial Day program. Their future legislators would have legislatures would could completely supplant it. I don't know what we can do. Well,
watch.
Yeah.
Well, I think, colleagues, if I could just say, I think we're going to be doing more than watching. We're going to be in here on Thursday, which is when we're currently scheduled to hear the department's budget. In answer to your question, my best understanding is that this particular measure creates a vehicle, but does not place any limitations on that vehicle that the additional questions that you're raising might be better addressed in the budget discussions on Thursday. Co-chair, would you?
The only thing I would add to that is that in trying to prepare the budget for Thursday, Co-chair Gomberg and I have gone to pains to try to stay true to what the voters did, and I mean pains.
Okay.
But it occurs to me, as we anticipate making the County Veterans Service Officer Program more robust, that we would want to give some degree of direction to counties not to withdraw county support and backfill with this new money. And I think that we may want to visit with the big co-chairs about a budget note or some direction, or I would turn to the professional staff and say, is there any prophylactic that we can put in place to keep counties from backfilling?
Sure. Very good.
It is certainly the option of the committee to add budget instructions to counties related to the particular funding that you would be providing for them in the ODVA budget bill. It wouldn't be through this bill, but in that particular bill, if you did want to add language into the budget report, that would be an option. I do, I know that that's Ms. Beidle's budget, and she has mentioned to me that there are some statutes in place already that require certain levels of county support for County Veterans Service Officers. I think that that would be a question that you may want to ask her either before or during your work session.
Fortuitously, I believe that Co-Chair Gomberg and I have a meeting tonight with the team of budget analysts that work on our portfolio of budgets, and that includes ODVA. And so I would respect...
I would go beyond saying includes. I would say tonight would be focused on ODVA.
I would respectfully ask Mr. Bender, who is our committee's quarterback in LFO, to alert Ms. Beidle that that may be a topic of discussion.
I certainly shall be so.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing that up.
Colleagues, additional questions or comments? Yes, Representative Bearden.
Thank you. I'm just a little unclear on when money is deposited into the account versus when it's taken out. I'm not sure I understood that correctly. It sounds like spending may be based on an anticipated, on a forecasted amount. Why wouldn't you wait until the money was in the fund before taking it out of the fund? Am I missing something?
I don't believe you're missing anything, Representative. This particular fund is basically acts as a conduit, and the money will not stay in this fund for very long unless you choose to keep some of it in there. But assuming that you're allocating all the money out, each quarter money would be put into the fund, and then DAS would then allocate out the amounts of money based on what you approved in the allocation bill. That will occur without any issue, assuming that the revenues are meeting the forecast amount. If, however, there is a situation where the amount of revenue is coming in below forecast, it will be necessary to reduce that quarterly allocation at that time. It could be made up in a subsequent quarter. I mean, the allocation amount just limits the total dollars that DAS can provide to a particular agency during the biennium. But it will be basically distributed each quarter right to the agency. It doesn't stay in the account for very long.
Okay, thank you. I think I get that.
Colleagues, we're having a good conversation here. I just want to take a procedural step that may help or even broaden our conversation, or may have no effect whatsoever, but we are in public hearing. I do not have anyone signed up to testify on this. Is there anybody that's here today that wanted to comment on this measure before we continue our conversation? Please.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And I think generally this is a largely mechanical bill to establish the fund. There is the original constitutional language that dedicates Measure 96 dollars to a broad definition of veteran services for a specific population. This matches that definition statutorily. There are some, and given that both the voters and the legislature's original intent was that these resources weren't solely for ODVA, but to best serve veterans where the legislature decides, We're very comfortable. We've never envisioned it. Only if you want to work on housing for veterans, it might be best appropriated to a dedicated account to Oregon Housing and Community Services, not recreating wheels at our agency. It does create a little strangeness in terms of the accountability and responsibility. We are always, as the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, we will always feel, not just to the governor, the legislature, but our veterans, an accountability of how the Measure 96 dollars are being spent. Those will be appropriated over potentially different funds and different agencies under this concept, but we are going to continually try to organize our staff to better meet that partnership and accountability. Even if these, some of those funds are direct to Housing and Community Services, we would try to keep our staff and our partnership, because we are going to be held accountable for those funds because of who they are serving, regardless of who the agency is administering.
Senator.
Would it be safe to say, Mr. Director, that prudence might dictate setting up some kind of a reserve account, given that this money is going to continue to flow in for the benefit of veterans, rather than trying to deploy it all at once? Would it not make sense to have some kind of a reserve? Also, given the fact that Representative Meek brought up the spectrum of the fluctuations in lottery that may cause programs funded out of this new money to not have a predictable source of revenue. And I'm just asking, given that you have expressed your dedication to veterans, would that include your comments, please, on the advisability and efficacy of having some kind of a reserve as a shock absorber against those shifts in lottery revenue?
Co-Chair Johnson, members of the committee, both Representative Meek's comments and the professional staff of Mr. Bender make me nervous. These are only forecasts, not guaranteed dollar amounts. And I think we would be ill-advised if we did not set up, and I think it's both from LFO, from Budget and Management, CFO on the DAS side, from the agency side, from the veterans community side, we would be ill-advised not to have a reserve set aside. So do not appropriate up to that full forecasted perspective. If things are looking good, we can always come back in February, we can come back in future e-boards, and appropriate those resources as desired.
Colleagues, let me just share with you that I have heard impacts of the opening of the Washington Tribal Casino being as high as $100 million on lottery, and predicting programs on an unpredictable revenue source. I completely agree with your answer. Prudence, I think, demands that there be some kind of a reserve.
And co-chairs, members of the committee, I think the larger question, as an agency that hasn't had lottery funds historically, simply the mechanics of how those transfers happen from lottery to DAS down to the agencies and the programs, it does raise questions of whether we're envisioning a veteran services grant fund to partner organizations or whether we're envisioning student veteran grants. Expectations are high from community partners and the veterans community to get this money out the door, but we also don't want to be in a situation where we are then in cuts on the back end of this biennium should that. I don't think it's a huge risk given the current trends and some risks on the tribal casinos and other factors. But do we need to begin shaping those expectations of until that money is accumulated, we don't do the grants to the partners, or do we do smaller chunks along the way, is something for us to think through both across agency and the legislative partners.
Other questions? Representative Meek?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair. That's why I think it's important that when we're looking at the ODBA budget, that we look at it as its own entity of what we should be funding it without regard to lottery dollars, and I don't think we should be substituting, and we should fund it fully as necessary.
All right, thank you, Mr. Director. Senator, I apologize. I know you had a question earlier, and I wanted to get public testimony into the record.
Totally understand, and maybe it would be good. We've been saying that if the revenues are down from the that there would be cuts. What happens if they're up? Will that also be reflective? And will there be a true up, I think is what it's called, at some point where we balance out the percentage?
Senator and subcommittee members, if revenues come in higher than forecast, The allocations would remain consistent with what you approve or will approve in Senate Bill 5529, which will reflect your budget decisions here on the ODVA budget. So in other words, if there's additional money that comes in, it will not automatically be allocated. It would remain or be deposited into the Veteran Services Fund. It would be restricted, and the legislature could not use it for any other purpose other than for the services to veterans. And the legislature then could, either in the 2018 session or the early part of the 2019 session, approve allocating more of those funds that came in that weren't anticipated at the time. But absent that action, if there's more than forecasted monies coming in, they will remain in a balance that would then be available next session.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Was there anybody else that wanted to testify on this? Colleagues, do we have further questions or comments?
May I just, why wouldn't we true up, like, if it's a percentage of the amount, we're actually not, unless we come exactly on the penny, if it's below it, they don't get it. If it's above it, they don't get it until it's further appropriated 2 years later. Why can't we do a true up so that they get the money as it was put forward?
That may would...
If I could ask you to answer.
Please.
We meet as an e-board many times. We meet in sessions every year. At any one of those opportunities, we could adjust the budget either up or down and to allocate. For example, many times an emergency board, we will take action that on raising the floor, how much can be spent so as to be able to access money that's been held in reserve or that's the result of a grant being given to us or something of that nature. So we meet often enough, either in the emergency board or in sessions, that I think it would never be more than 3 months that would go by that we couldn't make those true-up adjustments.
Further comments or questions? Mr. Bender, I suspect you're going to recommend that that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments.
Yes, when you are in work session.
Well, I did open both the hearing and work session when we began today.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 140.
So we call this historically we call this a gut and stuff.
That would be what we call
it. I prefer
this.
To refer to it as a substitution of substance. Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? If not, the Dash 1s are substituted. And Co-Chair Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move Senate Bill 140 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Again, colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there further discussion? Are there objections? Seeing none, that motion is adopted. We will need carriers to the full and to both floors. Senator?
I volunteer for the full and for the Senate floor.
Thank you very much. And Representative Meek would like to take this to the House. Is there an interest in a co-carrier? I've never seen a co-carrier on a budget, on a Ways and Means measure.
This is a policy bill.
Yeah. It's a policy bill, yes.
All right, Representative Meek?
Yes, sir.
You'll take this to the House floor?
Thank you.
All right, we are good. Anything else on while we're in hearing or work session, Mr. Bender? I'm going to go ahead and close that part of the meeting. Colleagues, we're going to be coming back on Thursday, and at this point, we are scheduled to review the Veterans Affairs budget.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Please.
I'm just looking on the Thursday schedule, and the House reconvenes at 1 o'clock p.m. Are we going to when are we supposed to meet this?
Yeah. Question. We have notified the Speaker's office that the ODVA budget is scheduled in this subcommittee, and I believe that they're going to be excusing you, subject to the call of the House, of course. so that you'll be able to work on that budget.
A challenge we've been facing on a daily basis as two things are evolving. First of all, we're trying to work our way through the bills that are scheduled for floor votes, and also to continue the conduct of committee business in the afternoon. So, yes. We will plan to be here. We'll certainly need a quorum on both sides of the table. And if there is a call of the House, we would all have to go back to the floor. Otherwise, we would be excused. And if people feel strongly about particular measures that are on the floor, they're just going to have to balance their presence in the two locations. And it will be interesting. So the point I wanted to make before we adjourn, colleagues, Senator Johnson made reference that we have been taking some efforts with the veterans budget, not just in the last few days, which you may have inferred from the remarks since we're meeting tonight, but actually for the last 5 months, we have been taking some efforts with a particular focus on meeting the expectations of Oregon veterans and Oregon voters on this subject. And we will be planning to gather here on Thursday to unveil the results of those efforts. Senator, did you want to add anything to that?
Other than to say in trying to remain faithful to what the voters did and veterans' expectations, I think that we have been rigorous in presenting to you a budget that fulfills people's belief, what the voters rendered, the opinion they rendered in November.
Anything else for the good of the order? Yes, Mr. Bender.
Just a reminder, subcommittee members, you will be meeting tomorrow as well, when there are two public hearings scheduled, House Bill 3279 and Senate Bill 256. Materials have been posted to OLIS. Please feel free to contact LFO if you have any questions prior to the meeting.
Anything else? In that case, thank you, everyone. We are adjourned.
All right. Good.